crews yesterday reporting the fire is no longer actively burning. And the assistant chief, Tom Ewald, says the weather has turned around and become rather favorable.
All mandatory and voluntary evacuations have been lifted for Los Angeles City, Glendale, and the city of Burbank.
The fire has burned, though, over 7,000 acres in the hills above Burbank after breaking out last Friday. A North Carolina man says he thinks he killed his wife after taking too much cough medicine. That's the claim of Matthew Phelps of Raleigh, who says he had a dream, then woke up to find his wife on the floor early Friday morning. The 28-year-old Phelps said he was covered in blood and found a knife near him. He also told police, quote, "I think I did it." Officers found the 29-year-old victim, Lauren Phelps, with stab wounds, and she later died at a hospital. This is USA Radio News.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
You said today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Please donate now at redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey. Your help is urgently needed.
We told you that Congress gets back into session today after the August recess. Senator John McCain is among those heading back to work on Capitol Hill today. The Arizona Republican has been receiving treatment for brain cancer since last month after he cast the deciding vote against the GOP effort to repeal Obamacare. An airline passenger who got out of control now has to pay the airline nearly $100,000. A federal judge yesterday ordering James August to pay Hawaiian Airlines $98,000 because his antics forced that plane to turn around. The New Jersey man pleading guilty to interfering with a Honolulu to New York City flight. NASA's marking the 40th anniversary of the Voyager spacecraft launches today, and Mark Mayfield has details.
Voyager 2 was launched on September the 5th, 1977, a little more than 2 weeks after Voyager 1 lifted off. Their five-year mission to study Jupiter, Saturn, and their larger moons has expanded to a long list of scientific firsts. Voyager 1 is now the first spacecraft ever in interstellar space, beyond our solar system and more than 13 billion miles from Earth. NASA says, in theory, the Voyagers could travel through space for billions of years.
And starting today, Pittsburgh International Airport will be the first U.S. airport since 9/11 to let people go through security checkpoints without having to have a ticket. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
It is 77 degrees right now, 10:04 in Flemington. Partly cloudy skies, 50% chance of precipitation today. Weather Running Around says that for today, September 5th, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs in the lower 80s, south winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 50%. Thunderstorms in the evening and after midnight as well may produce damaging winds, heavy rainfall in the evening, humid with lows in the mid-60s. Occasional showers with a chance of thunderstorms, and some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall tomorrow. Not as warm, nearly steady temperatures in the mid-60s. Chance of rain 100% for those who are going back to school for the first day. Partly sunny on Thursday, lower 70s. Mostly sunny, lower 70s on Friday. Mostly sunny, upper 60s on Saturday. Sunday the 10th, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 60s. Temperatures in the area, 77 in Raritan, 78 in Lambertville, 76 in Stockton, 74 in, let's call it Califon, 75 in Easton, 75 in Branchburg, and 75 in Reddington. That is Hunter Chamber Radio weather.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Tech Today, and we're on WHCRDB, HunterChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments could include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, you can message me through the Tech Today Facebook page. My email is goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com. The studio number 908-237-0410. And if you want to get in touch with me outside of the studio, go to my website, bluepantherbiz.com. Pleasure to be with you after Labor Day. Looking forward to talking technology with you for the next hour. Lots of great things to cover. We have a lot of really fascinating new things happening with phone technology and the like. So let us get to it right off the bat. First one has to do with cameras, though. Remember that? We kind of lost track of the fact of those large, clunky cameras. Engadget and Steve Dent published this. This is Panasonic's GH5 can now shoot widescreen 6K video. When Panasonic first unveiled its 4K powerhouse GH5 camera, it seemed to promise 6K 30 frames per second video. That only turned out to be a burst mode for stills, but now Panasonic has actually made good by unveiling a 6K anamorphic 4992 by 3744 10-bit resolution video mode. On top of that, it made 4K more useful by unveiling an intra-frame full 4K 10-bit option that compresses each frame individually at a robust 400 megabits data rate. When Panasonic calls 6K not quite there's a big sentence here with a lot of parentheses. What Panasonic calls 6K turns out it's only really 5K. But that's not quite how it works. The 6K anamorphic, the GH5, actually reads out nearly its entire 20.3 megapixel sensor. The resulting 3x2 18.9 megapixel image have the same number of pixels as 2.1 6K anamorphic. To shoot that way, you need an anamorphic lens which squishes the widescreen image to 2:1, and during post-production it stretches it back to correct the ratio. Those lenses produce a unique look, most notoriously the J.J. Abrams lens flares. So there's lots of settings here in this article that you want to look over, is dealing with frame rate and bit rate and the like. But with the release of this option, the GH5 becomes one of the highest resolution 6K anamorphic cameras, despite costing tens of thousands less than models from Red and Alexa. While the images are 10-bit, the data rate is low for this mode, 200 megapixels per megabits per second, compared to rival cameras. However, if you want more data, you can shoot 4K anamorphic and get 400 megabits per second. Hopefully, Panasonic will bump the 6K anamorphic data rate at some point. The other new feature, 4K intra-frame capture, may be more valuable, even though it sounds less interesting. Most consumer cameras capture video in a so-called interframe format, like H.264, MPEG-4, or Sony's XAVC. Saving data by recording how one image differs from the next, intraframe compresses each file individually without regard to others, much like how JPEG files work. The resulting images are easier to edit and work better for action sequences, but they tend to be much larger than interframe files. So Panasonic introduced a 4 megabits per second all-i 10-bit 422 codec, doubling the previous data rate. That's a higher throughput than many pro cameras, including Sony's $7,500 AK 4K FS7 XD cam. Even though the H5 costs less than a quarter of the price, only $1,700 as mentioned, the new data rate doesn't work well yet with the 6K anamorphic, and you'll probably need a high-speed UHS-II class SD card. If those major new feature additions aren't enough, Panasonic also improved autofocus for both stills and video and added new hybrid log gamma shooting mode that can be read by certain types of HDR 4K TVs. The new firmware will be available at Panasonic's website at the end of September. So the camera is out there. You have to update the firmware. Which brings up an interesting point. And many people don't realize this, and there's no way that anybody's going to tap you on the shoulder to do this. Many of the devices that you purchase today, phones, cameras, routers, modems, all need firmware updates. And many people don't realize it. Most of the time, you actually have to go into a special page that is specifically for it to find out if there is an update, or you have to go to the website itself to support it. In most cases, unfortunately, many technologists only do that when they're experiencing a problem, and then they go and check out and see if firmware has resolved it. But really, it's in your best interest to always go and check firmware. You should do it like on a quarterly basis, maybe half a year, and find out if anything needs to get updated. Because you could be missing out on new features, much like this photo, camera. But also you could be missing out on security fixes. So anything that you have that's technologically connected, some type of wiring, you should always think about it. Do I have to look for firmware? Is there firmware somewhere on it? Even for your computers as well, your tablets, always check your firmware and see if it's up to date. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of Tech Today. You're listening to us on WHCR-DB. Which is HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
This is Tech Today, and we're on WHCRDB, HuntingChamber.com, where we talk about all different technology. We just talked about a camera that's going to be able to recording in 6K. How about cars, though? We talked about autonomous cars a lot, but this is a little bit of a spinoff. Jaguar Land Rover reveals a steering wheel right out of Tron. It's in Autotech on CNET.com. Emma Hall was the author on September 5th, and she writes that we all know autonomous vehicles are in our future. Manufacturers like Tesla, GM, and Volvo are all pushing their semi-autonomous features, while tech companies such as Google and Samsung, along with startups such as Drive.ai, are racing to build self-driving car systems. The technology will be safer and grant more folks more mobility. Jaguar Land Rover is taking it one step further, envisioning a self-driving future where we'll only own a part of a car, the steering wheel. Presumably by 2040, we'll all have a detachable steering wheel that can dock in our homes, functioning as a personal assistant. We're not used in the car. Think of it as a Siri-connected steering wheel. Dubbed Sayer, S-A-Y-E-R, the AI-powered steering wheel can call up and attach itself to any car you'd like based on your scheduled tasks for the day. If you're helping a pal move, a truck arrives. Just a regular old commute? Watch your sedan roll up. It can handle stressful driving, but will still let you take control of the vehicle when the road turns fun. Whether or not Sayre will actually become a reality has yet to be seen, but we'll get a look at the prototype in person at the Jaguar Land Rover Tech Fest in London on September 8th through 10th, and the following week at the Frankfurt Motor Show. So you just walk in with the steering wheel. It looks like a little bit of an octagon. It doesn't look very big. And it has, looks like some buttons. Well, that's about it. And it's kind of like a cross between a joystick and a steering wheel. So it looks like something you might use in a plane, except it's circular. It's enclosed. I don't know. I don't really see how a steering wheel itself is really is the need. Quite honestly, you probably do that with a phone by that time or some other device that theoretically is your phone. So I'm not sure that's going to make it. But then again, I didn't think bottled water was going to make it either. So you never know. But all I know is 2040 is a bit of a long ways away. September 12th is around the corner, and Apple will likely unveil a new iPhone on September 12th. Written by Samantha Murphy Kelly on August 31st in CNN Tech, she says that iPhone users awaiting the arrival of Apple's next-generation smartphone now have a date to circle on their calendar. Apple will hold its annual product launch, where it typically shows off new iPhone models and other product updates, on Tuesday, September 12th, which is a week from today. For the first time, the event will be held at the spaceship-shaped Steve Jobs Theater on its new Cupertino, California headquarters, expected to open later this year. This year is expected to be a big one for Apple, since 2017 marks the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone. Rumors indicate the company will introduce three new devices at the event: the iPhone 7S, the iPhone 7S Plus, and the so-called iPhone 8, which will be dubbed the 10th anniversary edition. The iPhone 7S line is expected to feature incremental updates, but the anniversary phone could get a whole new look. Apple CEO Tim Cook was recently photographed with a taller phone in his pocket, which lives up to the rumors that it's come with a 5.8-inch display. To put that into perspective, the iPhone 7 is 4.7 inches and the iPhone 7 Plus is 5.5. The anniversary device is also expected to include an OLED display that has richer colors, wireless charging, a virtual home button, and facial recognition technology. There's lots of speculation about its price, too, which could start at $1,200, twice the cost of an unlocked iPhone 7. Apple is also expected to reveal its first cellular Apple Watch and a 4K Apple TV set-top box at the event. Although the launch event is slated for September, it may take a while for customers to get their hands on the new iPhone. Some analysts believe the anniversary device could be in short supply, citing constrained supplies. We'll see, and I don't think I'll have that information on the 12th, but when I do come the following week, I'll have plenty to talk to about, which will be the 19th. So stay tuned for that. We'll certainly get as much information as we can to pass across that information to you. Moving on from the iPhone event, how about a thermostat? Nest releases a cheaper, redesigned thermostat E. On CNN Tech, this is written by Heather Kelly on the 31st as well. She says, the Nest thermostat wants to shake off its reputation as a high-tech luxury item. Nest Labs is releasing a new version of its flagship smart thermostat with a new look and a big $80 price drop meant to appeal to the regular folk. The Nest Thermostat E, launched Thursday, will cost $169, feature a new vanilla design to help it blend into a home instead of stand out. The changes, while minor, are a notable departure from the Alphabet-owned Nest Labs. Since launching 6 years ago, the Nest Learning Thermostat has won design awards and dominated the smart home market that it helped launch. But at $249, the device's price was too steep for many homeowners, even with the promise of saving money on energy bills. A favorite of early tech adopters, the smooth wall-mounted disc was a conversation piece and much as a heating and cooling device. Now the company wants people to forget it's even them. The metal ring has been replaced with a white polycarbonate plastic. The crisp LCD screen is covered with a frosted display that fades to light gray when not in use. There's less to see anyway, with a new minimalist look that removes tick marks and other details. When the motion sensor is triggered, the Nest will light up and large orange numbers showing the current temperature. The gadget still works with the same Nest app as older iteration, so you can control it remotely through a phone or by yelling at an Echo or Google Home. While it does learn your heating and cooling habits over time, Nest isn't highlighting that feature. The Thermostat E has an automatic schedule-up programmed in right out of the box. Based on data Nest has collected over the years from all its users, it does not include a C-wire connection, which won't be an issue in most homes, according to the company. To reach a wider audience, Nest is focusing on how a smart thermostat can save money. According to Nest's own studies, a smart thermostat can save users $131 to $145 a year. Different states and cities offer rebates to customers who switch to a smart thermostat, and in locations like Chicago, it can offset the entire cost of the Thermostat E. A thermostat was Nest's first project, and it's still the company's most successful original creation. The company has only created one other new product, the Nest Protect Smoke and CO2 Alarm. It also acquired Wi-Fi camera company Dropcam for $550 million, after which it redesigned and rebranded its products to Nest Cam. Its most recent release was an update to the indoor Nest Cam that added features like facial recognition. After a period of highly publicized drama, Nest Labs has been mostly quiet over the past year. Founded by former Apple executive Tony Fadell in 2011, the company was acquired by Google in $3.2 billion in 2014. After it snatched up Dropcam, the Dropcam CEO said he regretted the deal, partially due to issues with Fadell's management style. Fadell resigned from Nest Labs in 2016. While a cheaper thermostat is not the flashy new product many Nest fans had been hoping for, it could be a lucrative move for the company. The low price and potential to save money on electricity bills could appeal to some people who would not have considered the pricier Nest, which will still be available. So doing some cost averaging there, potentially you could save $145, which is approximately the cost of it. And if you get the rebate, you're already ahead of the game. Is it worth it? Well, $145 over 10 years is $1,000. $1,000 is $1,000. I don't care how you shake it. And you could probably pay for that crazy coffee habit you got. So you might want to consider it whenever you happen to be in the mood for it. Now, the only thing I have a concern about is if it's app-related somehow, some way, you have to watch out that the firmware is updated and the security is good. Because, unfortunately, Internet of Things isn't open to the ability for people to hack it. Keep that in mind. Time for us to take a break. Do the news. We'll be back with more of Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. In just a little bit.
This is not a cloud. This is a patient.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Congress returning to work today after a summer break.
The message that the president would have for the members of Congress would be, let's get to work. But you've had a nice long break here, and we've got a lot of things to do.
White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders says members of Congress do face deadlines to keep the government functioning. Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin urging lawmakers to raise the debt ceiling by September 29th to prevent the government from running out of money to pay its bills. Congress must also pass a measure to fund the federal government and avoid a shutdown on October 1st. President Trump is expected to announce an end today to the Obama-era program that protects illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. It's reported that he'll end the DACA program following a six-month grace period. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, otherwise known as War. You hear my national radio show, War Now, the Wayne Allyn Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, rootforamerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, rootforamerica.com, or listen to my radio show at usaradio.com, or watch my TV show at newsmaxtv.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
Hurricane Irma's grown into a Category 5 monster, and it's headed towards the U.S. Bob Brights with the National Weather Service.
Our confidence is increasing that somewhere in the U.S. we'll see some impacts from the storm, from Irma. At this point, the highest confidence would be in Florida.
Florida Governor Rick Scott already declaring a statewide state of emergency as the storm approaches. That as the cleanup continues from Hurricane Harvey, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says FEMA is granting his request for community disaster loans for cities affected by that huge storm. That will allow communities to receive funding to help maintain their operating budgets while also focusing on rebuilding. The governor praising the federal government for so quickly responding to his request. In the meantime, the U.S. House is expected to vote this week on nearly $8 billion in funding for Harvey relief. Remember, you can follow us online. We're at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I need to take care of my heart at the cellular level with Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 from Life Extension. This powerful antioxidant promotes heart health and cellular energy production. Now you can get Super Ubiquinol CoQ10 at half off, plus free shipping and handling, plus a free six-month subscription to Life Extension Magazine. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622, or go to lifeextension.com/war. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
A North Carolina man's blaming a common cough medication for the murder of his wife. Matthew Phelps of Raleigh has been studying to become a pastor. He says he had a dream last Friday morning and then woke up to find his wife near death on the floor near the bed. The 28-year-old Phelps telling police he was covered in blood and did find a knife near him. The 29-year-old victim, Lauren Phelps, was found with stab wounds and she was pronounced dead at a hospital. Mr. Phelps claims he took coricidin cough medicine when he couldn't sleep. Bear, the maker of the product, says it is not associated with violent behavior. Phelps charged with murder now is being held without bond. It's an expensive lesson for one unruly air passenger who now has to pay an airline nearly $100,000 because his antics forced the plane to turn around. Mark Mayfield has more on his story.
New Jersey resident James August was ordered by a federal judge on Monday to pay Hawaiian Airlines $98,000. He pleaded guilty in February to interfering with a Honolulu to New York flight, where prosecutors say he threatened his girlfriend, passengers, and crew members. He was given 3 months probation and a fine to cover the airline's costs of fuel and other incidentals like paying to find passengers' other flights on other carriers. However, he doesn't have to pay for the nearly $50,000 in meal vouchers that were given to inconvenienced travelers.
And the NFL wants a federal court to dismiss Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott's legal challenge to a 6-game domestic abuse suspension. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
All right, welcome back to Tech Today. We're on HunterChamber.com. This is WHCRDB broadcasting from the Hunter and Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Still more things to talk about, more technology to discuss. And I was talking a little bit about that thermostat and hacking. So, you know, it stands to reason that we got to talk about it. It happens in all of our different opportunities, all our different ways. And social media is not exonerated from it. Instagram hackers are selling users' email and phone numbers, says CNN Tech Selena Larson on September 1st. Instagram alerted verified users earlier this week about a security flaw that could give hackers access to their personal information. It told the users that it had fixed the issue, but it appears the bug was exploited before Instagram's fix and affected more than the most high-profile accounts. On Friday, Instagram CTO Mike Krieger published a blog post alerting all users to the security flaw. Although we cannot determine which specific accounts may have been impacted, we believe it was a low percentage of Instagram accounts. We want to reiterate that no passwords were exposed to the issue, the company said in a statement. A spokesperson told CNN Tech they are aware individuals are trying to sell the information and the company is working with law enforcement. Hackers are selling email and phone number data alleged belonging to Instagram accounts that they say they scraped before the flaw was fixed. People can look for usernames on a searchable database and buy personalized data for $10 each. The website can't be accessed by traditional web browsers. A manager of the database told CNN Tech that we have a variety of high-profile accounts, normal accounts, and very high-profile celebrities. The hackers claim to have personal information associated with over 6 million accounts. The manager of the database said he heard about the Instagram vulnerability on a private chat room and accessed the data on August 25th. The person sent CNN Tech a list of 1,000 purported Instagram accounts and associated data, and CNN Tech was able to confirm that some of the emails included were used by existing Instagram accounts. Facebook, which owns Instagram, declined to comment on Friday. Earlier the week, entertainer Selena Gomez's Instagram account was hacked, and old photos of her ex-boyfriend Justin Bieber were posted to her account. Hackers can use phone numbers and emails to find out a lot about a person. For example, an attacker could take over a phone by hacking its SIM card and gain access to the accounts associated with the phone number. So we are at the mercy of how good and how vigilant the technology people are of these particular companies. So the only way to prepare for that is to not put extremely important information in their hands. I've been yelling about this for years. That's why I'm not a proponent of cloud. But I also am not a proponent of putting very important things on social media. So I use it to communicate, but I don't use it to publish my life. My life is all separate, and it's all in one spot, and it's nowhere, anywhere, anybody else can get to. So doing that is crazy. So be aware that Instagram has been hacked, unfortunately. One of the other things that happens, I was just talking with on Good Morning Hunter today with Carrie Fellows. And one of the things we were talking about was the fact that you can use the events of the day as a reminder to take care of things that you've been putting off. In her specific conversation, we were talking about disaster recovery. Something that no business, no home ever wants to do. But yet it's important to do because when you actually do need it, most people aren't prepared. One of the other things is the 911 system. The 911 system works really well in a normal everyday life. A particular person has an emergency and they call 911. It's not overtaxed. The people that are in place are not overtaxed. They can manage it for the most part. But when you have something that goes to the level of Hurricane Sandy or now Hurricane Harvey, we're now putting stress on a system that has not been experiencing that type of stress. And maybe the last time it experienced stress might not be even close to the level of impact that a new event is going to hand it. And so the question, the rhetorical question here is, to all our municipalities, how do we test our 911 systems? How do we stress test them? And CNN Tech's Heather Kelly says, Harvey highlights issues of an aging 911 tech system. So here we have another opportunity to remind us, our municipalities, what are we going to do if, in fact, we actually do incur another Hurricane Sandy here in Hunterdon County? As floodwaters begin swallowing roads and homes during Tropical Storm Harvey, panicked Houston residents did what everyone in the U.S. is programmed to do. They dialed 911, but the emergency number struggled with record high call volume. At the peak of the storm, the service received about 80,000 calls in a 24-hour period. The Harris County area typically gets 8,000, so it was 1,000-fold. Some people were unable to get through at all, and those who did were put on hold while a recording, which promised the call was being processed, looped. Desperate residents took in social media to post their addresses in the hopes that someone would get the information to the right authorities for a friend with a boat. The requests went viral, leaving many wondering why 911 wasn't able to do more. Like most 911 systems in the U.S., Houston is based on an outdated telephone network. There are 30 centers fielding 911 calls in Greater Harris County, where Houston is located. The emergency network is the largest 911 operation in Texas and one of the largest in the country. It is more advanced than many. The centers can receive SMS text messages, but it needs an overhaul to keep up with the smartphone age. There is a plan in place to update systems across the country, somewhat called Next Generation 911, which works over internet-based networks. It could make it possible to outsource 911 calls during the disaster like Harvey and make it easier to process rich texts and even pinpoint locations. Inside the Houston Emergency Center, call takers took turns pulling 12-hour shifts and sleeping in the building during the hurricane. Many employees worked in spite of their own personal emergencies. There was no other option. Rerouting calls to 911 centers outside the system is not technically possible because of the legacy telephone technology. Moving calls around is really a physical task, said Trey Fogarty, Director of Government Affairs at NINA, the National Emergency Number Association. You have to go physically move wires, and it's nearly impossible to do it during a disaster. Next generation 911 systems would make it easier to quickly shift calls to other counties. It could also change how people communicate with 911 during a disaster. Texting makes sense during a disaster when hold times are long and battery power is precious. The greater Harris County system received around 630 SMS texts the past week, up from 115 the week before. But Joe Loud, administrator manager for the Houston Emergency Center, said they prefer calls because it takes 10 times longer to respond to a text. Under the next generation system, people would be able to text photos, videos, and other files to 911 instead of just words. Eventually, the centers could hire video and photo analysts and text messaging specialists to produce and process the requests. Some of the issues 911 centers face during Harvey are harder to solve, but the use of social media was an unexpected complication. Each tweet or Facebook post that was widely shared resulted in a high number of calls to 911 about the exact same, often outdated cry for help. I'm still getting emails for high water rescues, but now we're finding out they're all duplicates, said Loud. It's hard to coordinate anything, especially in the social media world. The hope is that increased capacity for calls and other forms of communication will reduce the number of people posting publicly. That's preferable to trying to add social media monitoring. We're very conscious of the need to protect consumer privacy, said Forgetty. We don't want to be in the business of surveillance. It's a bit of a fraught area for us. They also don't want to be in the business of coordinating with amateur rescuers. Harvey saw an influx of civilian responders, people using their own boats, gear, and smartphone apps to help people. Citizen responders in some ways are a great asset for our nation to have. On the other hand, when they're not necessarily properly trained and properly insured, it's really difficult for the emergency response community to engage with them. For now, the industry is focused on less technical issues, the funding. First stage of the switch to Next Generation 911 is expected to happen in 2020. It will take between $10 billion and $12 billion to update all 911 systems in the country, according to NINA. The vast majority of 911 funding is done on the state and local level, though there is a pending federal grant program that could contribute $150 million. Ooh, nice job, federal government. Until 911 catches up in the technology on our smartphones, people can help call centers by following a few rules. Only call in case of an emergency, don't hang up and call again, and update your social media posts if you've already been rescued. I think everyone's got the message, said Loud. Stay on the line. Save 911 for true emergencies. It would be nice if there was technology that could ferret out the duplicates, though. Wouldn't that be cool? Big data is all about that. Some way of grabbing all that data from all those disparate places and figuring out it's the same rescue. It's 10:49. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Tech Today, and we're on WHCR-DB.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee. Technology. This is Tech Today on HoneyChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB. And one of the biggest technology needs is our PCs and our laptops. Well, Windows 10 has been around for almost over a year now, and another Windows 10 update is due October 17th. Heather Kelly wrote this on September 1st on CNN Tech, and she says, Windows fans, mark your calendars. The next major update to Windows 10 will be available to download on October 17th, a little later than expected. The Fall Creators Update, first teased at Microsoft Build in May, will include a number of intriguing new features. It includes support for mixed reality devices, improved defense against ransomware and other exploits, and a Find My Pen feature for anyone who regularly misplaces their stylus. Terry Myerson, Microsoft's Executive Vice President for the Windows and Devices Group, announced the release date during a keynote speech on Friday at IFA, a consumer electronics show in Germany. This is the fourth major update for the Windows 10 operating system. Earlier this year, Microsoft said its releases would happen on a predictable schedule, coming out every March and September. Microsoft really wants mixed reality headsets to take off during the holidays. In addition to it, adding support for mixed reality, Microsoft's preferred term for an augmented and virtual reality headset technology. Microsoft partners Asus, Acer, Dell, and HP are releasing Windows 10-based VR headsets. The headsets, which cost $299 and up, will also ship on October 17th, according to Myerson. Other new features highlighted by Myerson include eye tracking for people with Lou Gehrig's disease, improved photo and video creation tools, and an expanded game mode that uses all the computer's processing powers for Xbox Play Anywhere games. So you have it. Be prepared for that. It usually takes a while to get downloaded and takes even longer to process. So you might plan on doing that sometime over the middle of the night or on a weekend, because if it doesn't work right, you don't want to be stuck with your computer not working or having to move back to a previous release. one you'd need to work in the middle of, on a Wednesday. Finally on CNN Tech, how free self-driving car rides can change everything. Matt McFarland reports on September 1st that it's Saturday night and you're planning an evening out. You're fired up, a ride-sharing app for head out to your favorite restaurant. But then an ad appears offering a free ride to a new Thai spot on the other side of town. Suddenly, you're reconsidering plans. Why pay for a ride to one neighborhood when another one is totally free? Ultimately, your favorite restaurant could lose a customer. Scenarios like this may play out in the coming era of self-driving vehicles. The cost of offering fully autonomous rides could be so low that businesses will be tempted to subsidize the rides to boost their bottom line. According to experts, the move could have big implications not only for businesses but for cities, public transportation systems, and car owners. There's an infinite number of new advertising modes that become possible, said Hod Lipson, a Columbia University engineer professor and author of the book Driverless Intelligent Cars and the Road Ahead. We'll see a lot of innovation. In some cases, Uber and Lyft rides are already priced so low that they're competitive with public transportation systems. With self-driving vehicles, costs will even lower, and then will be no driver to pay. Ultimately, public transportation systems could be undercut. Research from investment firm ARK Invest has estimated autonomous taxis will cost 35 cents per mile. Rides today typically run a few dollars for each mile. According to ARK Invest analyst Tasha Keeney, someone take a share ride in a self-driving vehicle could experience even cheaper rides. But some riders may not see a point in riding with strangers if it's only saving them 5% on an already low fare. This could result in a traffic nightmare. Urban designer Jeff Speck warned low-occupancy vehicles are a tremendous waste of street space. Replacing trains and buses with autonomous vehicles could cripple mobility. As a result, city planners may need to determine how to manage a major influx of self-driving vehicles. Automakers may also see a decline in sales, as customers may see fewer reasons to buy a car. Free transportation might seem like a widely revolutionary idea, but there are already examples today, such as airport shuttle buses. The psychology appeal of zero cost is so strong, anytime you can offer a free transportation service like a corporate shuttle, you also certainly will. Chris Anderson, author of The Free, The Future of Radical Price. In the book, he argues businesses can benefit more from giving things away than charging for them. For example, a free ride service on golf carts called Sprint launched a section of Arlington, Virginia this summer. The neighborhood is full of restaurants and affluent young people, making it a good fit for an ad-supported business model. Sprint founder Alex Villanueva has placed iPads in front of his passengers. The business was inspired by a free ride service in Florida and California that operated along popular commercial strips. The big question is just how far free or nearly free self-drivers will reach. Niche services such as Sprint won't get you everywhere you need to go. So there you have it, the ability of having free cars and free rides in the near future. Well, time for me to leave. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today, and hopefully we've imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to WHCR-DB Tech Today.
On Hurricane Irma, though it's too early to say exactly where that storm is headed. They do say there's an increasing chance of seeing some impacts from Irma in the Florida Peninsula and the Florida Keys as soon as late this week and into the weekend. Wildfires in southwest Canada as well as the northern Rockies are affecting parts of the U.S. as smoke from those wildfires has left a hazy gray-yellow sky over Nebraska and Iowa. Health officials say that smoke could cause problems for people who already have...
On Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
It's 8:05. It's time for Hunt Chamber Radio weather. A 66 degrees in Flemington right now. Partly cloudy skies and a 50% winds 5 miles an hour. Occasional showers with a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. Not as warm with near steady temperatures in the mid-60s. That's for tomorrow, the 6th, first day of school. Winds will be 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 100%.